My name is Pastor Gary. I know there's a couple new people here, and we're very excited that you're here. A couple new families that I recognize. We had a whole bunch of people here last night, or yesterday, for the Trunk or Treat event, which was awesome. Our lead pastor is Pastor Les, but this week I will be providing the message for us. And we're going to be continuing in our God sighting series. We're going to be continuing to look for God and ourselves in the book of Psalms. Today, we're going to look for God in an area of our lives known as our needs. We're going to look at a specific role that God plays in our lives. We're going to see him as the provider for our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. And I need to clarify that before we move forward, because there's things that we want in life, but we tend to speak about them as if we need them. And there are also legitimate needs in our life that we elevate to a higher priority than we should. I'll give you an example of each. Let's say you want to build an addition on your house. Maybe it's a sunroom. Do you need a sunroom on your house? No. Will it add value to your house? And will it make your life at home a little more pleasurable, especially on a sunny day? Sure. But do you need a sunroom? No. In this world, in order to survive, we need a certain level of income. And it varies from person to person. But there is a level of need for money. But the problem is, in this society in particular, we have elevated that need higher on the priority list than it should be. And certainly higher than God would put on his priority list. Now, we have enough evidence. Many of you have experienced it, I've experienced. We have enough evidence to know that God provides for the financial needs of his people. He comes through for people financially. But there's something higher on his priority list. And it's something we probably don't put enough emphasis on in our own lives. And it's our souls. God provides for the needs of our souls. Now, I've been a Christian for, I think, about 11 years now, and I've studied God a lot. I went to school, I'm going to school now. I've learned a lot about God, and I don't think I would be wrong in saying that God views our souls as his number one priority. I don't think he places a high priority on our house, our income, our car, our status, or our job, for example. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, though. Those are good things. We want to live in a house. We want to have a car. We want an income. But God is more concerned about our soul. Why? Because you can have the biggest house on the block, the biggest bank account, the best office in the building, the fanciest car on the road, or you could have the complete opposite of those things. Regardless, we all experience things in our lives that affect our souls. We all, most likely, have experienced loss, grief, doubt, sadness, anxiety, worry, lack of self-worth, disease, discontentment, mental illness, the list goes on. I guarantee you that there's at least one other person on this planet that has experienced the same emotional distress and pain that you have. And God knows this. It's a sad reality of this sinful world. God knows what this world can do to us. God knows the powerful effect that sin can have on our souls. He knows that sin has separated us from him, and many of us look to the world for solutions to our problems. Many of us fail to look to God to be the provider for our needs. And I want to change that today. I want to show you what God can and will do for you in your life. He will provide for the true needs of your soul. And we're going to find out the truth of that statement in our passage this morning. Our Bible passage this morning is a passage you may be familiar with. Many Christians know this passage very well. It's a passage that has helped people get through hard times for thousands of years. And I would venture to say that people with no Bible experience, no church experience, have heard words of this passage, and it's Psalm 23. If you're not familiar with Psalm 23, you probably will be by the time I'm done reading it. Again, it's Psalm 23, and it's the passage we'll be looking at this morning. It's a short psalm, so I'm going to read the entire thing. Again, Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or you may have heard, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, I mentioned earlier that we are going to see God in a specific role in our lives. And this role is actually a metaphor. It's a metaphor that's found throughout the Bible. It's often found as a description for God in the Old Testament, and as Cindy read this morning, a description for Jesus in the New Testament. It's a metaphor of a shepherd. God is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. This was a commonly understood metaphor in ancient times. When people heard this psalm being read, they understood it because shepherds were everywhere. Shepherd was a common job that people had. It's a little different than today's world. If a shepherd is not a common metaphor, especially for younger people, because we don't have too many shepherds anymore. There are actually more in European and Asian countries, so they still do exist. But it's hard for us to understand this metaphor. So what we can do today is we can make an effort to understand the tasks of a shepherd. And we can see why God is often referred to as our shepherd. We can find out how God provides the same needs for us that a shepherd provides for his sheep. Now, before we get into the specific things that God does, the specific provisions, I want to point out one thing. Notice David says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." He doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. And I want you to get this. God is the shepherd over his people, but he is also a shepherd to each one of them individually. If you have received Jesus into your life and you believe in God of the Bible, you have access to a personal shepherd in your life. But a problem that Christians tend to run into is failing to take advantage of that access, failing to recognize God as your shepherd. But it's not completely your fault. In fact, it's kind of our fault as a church. Because what we've done is we've allowed the definition of a personal relationship with God to take on new meaning. We go up to somebody and say, "Oh, you believe in God, but do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?" What we're really saying is, "Are you saved?" We're really saying, "Have you received salvation from Jesus?" Because there's people that will answer yes to that question, but they have never taken the time to build an intimate personal relationship with God. God desires to be in relationship with you. It doesn't just stop with salvation. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've fallen into that false definition. Maybe you know for a fact that you're going to heaven. You know you're saved. You've received Jesus. You know you're going to heaven, and that's a great reward. But if you don't build a personal relationship with God, you're going to miss out on the rewards that he has for you in this life. There are rewards for us in this life, on this planet. They include peace, contentment, joy, gladness, just to name a few. We receive those rewards when we are in a personal relationship with God, when we allow God to provide for our needs, when we put our full trust in God. David also says, because the Lord is his shepherd, he lacks nothing, meaning that all his needs are consistently met. God has provided for David's actual needs. So the next question is, what are God's provisions? What exactly is he providing for our needs? What does he provide for us when we trust him, when we look to him, when we understand our dependence on him? Well, to help us remember, I came up with some R words, words that start with the letter R, to help us remember. And the first thing God provides for us is rest. According to verse 1, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What are the characteristics of a green pasture? Healthy soil, not a lot of dirt, plush green grass, a lack of weeds, hopefully a smaller population of bugs. I'm sure the sheep get a better rest on a surface like this than one that is hard and dirty where the grass is sparse. When the sheep need rest, a shepherd wants what's best for them. He wants them to have a good rest, so he makes sure that he finds a green pasture for them. He leads them to a green pasture. Likewise, God as our shepherd provides us with chances to rest. We just have to make time for that provision to happen. But Gary, I'm just so busy all the time. I barely have time to get a good night's rest. David isn't just talking about God providing you with time to sleep or to sit on the couch for 15 minutes. Remember, we're talking about our souls, not our daily activities. David is talking about real rest in God, especially when we're anxious or worried or unsure about the future. The rest he provides is more of a trust in him, a let go, let God kind of thing. God, as our shepherd, is always in control no matter what. He's watching over us. He's protecting us. Sometimes we think he is absent, but he isn't. He's there for us. He always has a green pasture waiting for us. We just have to press the pause button on our lives sometimes and lie down in that pasture. We need to take time to rest our souls, because if we don't, we will spiral downward. Eventually, we will hit a breaking point, and we will crash and burn. If we do not take time to allow God to give us our much-needed rest, we will crash. We need rest in our lives. You need to take time in your life to rest in God. The second thing God provides as our shepherd is refreshment. The end of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3 says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Water literally provides refreshment. Physical water literally provides refreshment for our physical human bodies. It's why doctors are always telling us to drink more water. There's a certain level of health benefit that comes along with making sure that your body is properly hydrated. However, in this passage, David is comparing a shepherd leading his sheep to quiet waters to God providing a place for us to refresh our souls. God not only leads us to quiet waters, he is the quiet waters. He is those quiet waters. He is the place where we find refreshment for our souls. And it echoes the words found in John chapter 4 of the New Testament when Jesus is interacting with a woman who's drawing water from a well. Jesus talked to her about the living water that is only found in him. He said this to her, "Everyone who drinks this water, physical water from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them become in them a spring of water welling up with eternal life. Notice he says, if we drink the water he gives us, we will never thirst. There is no other source of refreshment for our souls like God's refreshment. The world's sources of refreshment are temporary. You will always be thirsty again. But God's refreshment is permanent, and it refreshes our souls. The third provision from God is redirection. Verse 3 says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Now, one thing I know that's true about sheep is that when they are feeding, when they're eating grass, their primary focus is the grass. They do not look at where they're going. In fact, that's not even a concern of theirs. All they want to do is find the grass. So a shepherd needs to constantly be on watch and alert to make sure that he's ready to redirect them if they head towards danger. So the sheep unknowingly trust their shepherd to lead them to a safe and secure location. They also trust their shepherd to redirect them if they're headed towards a wolf or some other predator. The shepherd knows, this is part of his job, he knows that the sheep are going to choose unwisely often. So he must always be alert to redirect them when necessary. This is also true of our shepherd, God. He loves his sheep. He wants what's best for his sheep. He wants them to be safe and secure. When we are headed in a wrong direction, he redirects us. However, like rest and refreshment, there is responsibility on our part. We have to trust in the guidance of God. If he says go right, we have to go right. If we go left, we are left to whatever comes our way. We are left to deal with the choice we made to not follow his direction. So he constantly is trying to redirect us. I think many of us can relate to that very well. I know I can. But the more we trust in God, the more we can trust in his guidance. The more we know that he's going to lead us on the right path, the more likely we will be to follow that path and make correct choices. And the best way to do that is to build a relationship with him. Build a personal relationship with God. Because a personal relationship starts to build trust. And then you know that he's telling you to go the right way. He's leading you on the right path. Along with these three provisions comes a fourth provision, which is rescue. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God, as our shepherd, is ready to rescue us if necessary. There are times when we put ourselves in positions where we are damaging our souls. And the only way to get out is to ask God to get us out. There's also dark valleys in our lives that we have no control over, that come as a surprise to us, such as a cancer diagnosis or a death of a loved one. These are tough valleys to be in, but God is with us. We should not fear because God is with us. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to change the diagnosis or heal you, but he's going to give you rescue for your soul. You're going to be able to deal with that situation much better, knowing that he is with you. He has rescued you. Now, there's one thing I want to point out here. God has the ability to rescue you out of a negative situation. But there's also a way to live in a constant state of rescue. I think that's what David is really trying to get at here. He's in a constant state of rescue because he's already been rescued. He was rescued before, he's being rescued now, and he will be rescued in the future because the rescue already happened. God already called him. It's just like us when we receive Jesus as our Savior. Jesus rescues us once and for all. That's why he went to the cross in the first place, to die for our sins, to rescue us from the damage of our sins, to rescue us from death. We can live in a constant state of rescue from that truth. See, when we accept Jesus into our lives, we automatically enter into the covenants that he promised his people thousands of years ago. Those covenants still apply today. And we get to be a part of those covenants. We are his sheep, and he is our shepherd. He will always be with us no matter how dark the valley gets. He will always be there to offer us rest, refreshment, redirection, and rescue. We know this is true because, like a good shepherd, he has the proper tools to do so. The end of verse 4 says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This represents the fifth R word, which is reassurance. God comforts us with reassurance. God created us and the universe. Nothing about these two parts of creation catches him off guard. He knows what he created. He knows what sin has done to his creation. He knows the danger of this world. He knows our tendency toward sin. But here's the problem. If we never pursue a personal relationship with God or make an effort to get to know him, we can't get to know his reassurance. Because in order to have reassurance, we need to have assurance first. There is no such thing as reassurance without assurance. We need to build a relationship with him, and we need to allow him to provide for our needs, because he's going to be consistent. He's going to consistently provide for our needs. If he does it once, he's going to do it over and over again. And that brings a level of comfort to our lives. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. These tools, a rod and a staff, a shepherd has them. And a shepherd's rod is a tool that's used for many things. One, it's used to count his sheep. He wants to make sure none of them are missing, so he can use it as a counting device. He can use it to gently redirect a sheep that's headed the wrong direction. If he uses a little more force because the sheep is being stubborn, he can push them a little harder with the rod. And he can also use the rod as a weapon to fight off predators. Now, the staff is more for the shepherd. The staff is a support device. It keeps him grounded when he's fighting off a predator or when he's guiding his sheep. Just like God, the shepherd is solid in the ground with that staff. He's holding his ground. He's consistent. He's not going to budge. And he is going to care for his sheep from that support, and he is going to provide comfort in your lives. He is going to provide reassurance to you. Every single time that you go through a dark valley, he will offer you reassurance. You just have to look to him and call out to him. Now, the first five R words are things that God provides for his sheep as a shepherd. But the last one is how he actually sees us. Yes, we are often compared to sheep in the Bible. We can see that as a little insulting. But God does not view us as dumb animals that don't know any better. He actually views us as royalty. He views us as royalty in his kingdom. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." In ancient times, a king would host a dinner or a banquet. And the members of his royal family would get the VIP treatment. They would have a special table. They would have the best table. They'd probably get fed first, things like that. They would be anointed as well with wonderfully scented oils. That was a custom of the time. Sometimes honored guests would be invited to the banquet, and they would receive the same treatment as the royal family. It's like a wedding, when a bride and groom have a special table that they sit at during the reception. They invite, most likely, invite the wedding party to sit with them at their special table. And that wedding party typically is people that are close to them, that are in close personal relationships with them. There are friends that they invite to the wedding, but those friends are sitting at other tables. The people that are close to them sit at their table. Same way goes for God. He has a special table waiting for those who are close to him. But the difference between a wedding party table and God's table is that the seats are endless at God's table. There is no shortage of seats at God's table. We all have the opportunity to sit at God's table. We all have the opportunity to receive preferential treatment. But a lot of us miss out on that because we stop at salvation. We stop at saying, I'm going to heaven, I'm good. We never pursue this personal relationship with God, which gives us so much more while we're living on this earth. See, we need to actively participate in our relationship with God. He will provide for our needs. He will consider us royalty. He loves his people. He wants you to sit at his special table. He desires it. But some of us have failed to build a trusting relationship with him. We don't trust him because we never made an effort to trust him. We don't truly rest because we never made an effort to rest in him. We always feel thirsty because we never drank his living water. We follow our own ways, and we wonder why we don't always end up where we want to be, or we don't end up where we should be. We try to consistently rescue ourselves, and we never call out to God for help because our pride says we got this. I got this. We think we have enough willpower to conquer our sins, but yet we continue to struggle with the same ones over and over and over and over again. When we do these things, when we rely only on ourselves, we actually neglect our souls. We're neglecting the health of our souls. We never allow our souls to be fully rested or fully refreshed, and that leads to more worry, more anxiety, more sadness, more grief, more doubt. We fail to see the light that is shining in those dark valleys. When we trust ourselves in the world, but when we trust God, even if it's a glimmer, we can see that glimmer of light in that dark valley. We can see him standing there, watching over us, protecting us, refreshing us, giving us rest, redirecting us, rescuing us. When we accept our role as metaphorical sheep and allow God to be our shepherd, he will provide for all the needs of your souls, not just a few. He will provide for all your needs, and you will have a place reserved at his special table. In addition, his goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is our shepherd. We lack nothing. The Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. Believe it. Trust it. Live it. Make an effort to have a personal relationship with God, and I promise you will not be disappointed. If you are unsure of how to do that or what that means, talk to me. I'll be down here in the front. Pastor Les is over here. He'll be here. I know there's some people that may not know what that means, and it's hard. Everybody's different. Some of us need prayer. Some of us need more Bible reading. Some of us need small groups. But there is a way to build a personal relationship with God where he will provide for your needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Let's pray. God, our shepherd, we thank you for creating us, for allowing us to be a part of a relationship with you, for opening yourself up to us so that we can enter into your protection. into your rest, into your rescue, into your redirection, reassurance, and refreshment. Thank you for considering us royalty when we come into relationship with you. It makes us feel special. It makes us feel valued. It makes us know that you care. That our souls are your number one priority. God, we know how crazy this world can be. We know the sins that constantly attack us. The sins we constantly struggle with. The ones that we've tried to fight on our own. God, we ask for your help with those today. We ask that you give us rest, that you help us overcome these things. Allow us to understand the role that you play in our lives as our shepherd, that you care about us as your sheep, that you don't want anything bad to happen to us, that your goal is nothing but keeping us safe and secure. So we need you to reach us. We need you to touch our hearts, our minds, and our souls so that we can become more aware of that and that we can make better choices in our lives that align with your will. We know you're capable. We know that you make us capable. So continue to reach us. Continue to help us. Continue to be our God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and it's in his glorious name I pray. Amen.